next speaker is Katie Hinman from the American Association for the Advancement of Science, speaking on equipping faith leaders to engage with science in a rapidly changing world.
Well, first off, I want to thank Dennis for teeing me up very nicely for this conversation. I also want to acknowledge the land on which we are gathering here on the U of T campus. We're on the ancestral homelands of the Huron-Wendat, the Seneca, and the Mississaugas of the Credit. And I am traveling here from Washington, D.C., which is the ancestral homelands of the Piscataway and the Kachchanker Anacostians peoples. And just want to gratefully acknowledge the caretaking of the peoples who originally lived on this land and also the communities that are the indigenous communities that are still living here. If you're curious about the native lands where you are, I encourage you to visit native-land.ca. You can look up on the map wherever you live and find out what indigenous peoples originally called your area home. So my name is Katie Hinman. I'm the director of the Dialogue on Science, Ethics, and Religion at the American Association for the Advancement of Science. I have a PhD in ecology and evolution. I'm also a United Methodist pastor, served the church for 9 years in the pulpit, but now working with AAAS. Just want to give you a little bit of background. AAAS is the world's largest general scientific society, and it's the publisher of the Science family of journals. But beyond Science Magazine, which most people know AAAS for, AAAS also has a wide range of programs with the mission of advancing science and serving society. And one of those programs is the Dialogue on Science, Ethics, and Religion, with a mission of fostering dialogue between scientific and religious communities, recognizing that these often overlap, I just want to put that out there, on issues on science, technology, and society. And we do that through a variety of different programs and projects, including engagement at universities and seminaries and congregations, hosting workshops and panel discussions, putting out a lot of resources. I hope that you will visit our website, especially our resource website at sciencereligiondialogue.org. You can find many of those resources there. So, COVID-19 brought to the forefront the fact that pastors and faith leaders end up being science interpreters, science communicators, and science influencers, whether or not they want to, and whether or not they are necessarily prepared to do that. Pastors had to decide what were going to be the rules for gathering in their churches. Were they going to encourage public health measures like vaccination? You know, what were the risks of gathering together? And then they also had to deal with all the technological challenges of how do I communicate with my congregation in this landscape? How do we utilize technology and science to help us continue to gather together when we can't physically be together? COVID was obviously a very particular case, but scientific topics come into the church all the time, and they are going to continue to do so. Obviously, we've had lots of conversation this morning already about AI. But health issues are a big place in both public health things like COVID, but obviously, pastors are intimately involved with their parishioners' lives when it comes to health issues. Between pastoral care and counseling, people come to them asking, what decision should I make about a health issue? Of course, things around climate change and creation care are another big issue that are coming into churches. And whether, they think about it as I am engaging science in my church, a pastor is going to end up answering and fielding questions from parishioners about how we think about scientific advancements, how we apply technology in our lives, what's the proper role of that. But most faith leaders don't have a background in the sciences. The entering student questionnaire from the Association of Theological Schools last year found that less than 28% of entering seminary students had any undergraduate degree in the sciences, and almost all of those, two-thirds of those, were in the social sciences. and not in the natural sciences. So generally, people coming into seminary and training to be faith leaders aren't necessarily coming in with a big scientific background. And this makes it important to think about, are there places in theological education when we're training future faith leaders to help prepare them to engage with scientific issues? Science is part of every breath that we take, whether we kind of recognize it as such or not. And religious leaders have a big role in their, not only in their congregations, but also in their communities, of leading, you know, attitudes towards science, but also things like advocating for policy. And this intersects, science intersects with lots of ministries that churches are already doing. I mean, there's the neuroscience behind pastoral care, right? There's scientific influences, obviously, on healthcare, but also on, you know, economic ministries and justice ministries. And there's lots of opportunity out there to deepen these conversations. This is also good for the scientific enterprise. So this is not just because it's good for faith leaders to know about science and you know, kind of be educated and maybe educate their congregations, but the scientific enterprise benefits from having people of faith educated and interested in these issues and holding the scientific enterprise accountable for how we do science ethically, how we apply scientific advancements in our lives. I mean, Joanna Ng's talk this morning about, you know, how we're using AI and what are our goals with developing AI. And so because of this, AAAS, as a scientific society, which does not have a theological position at all, started the dialogue on science, ethics, and religion to start bringing these conversations, having a space for these conversations. And one of the ways we've done that is through our Science for Seminaries program. And Science for Seminaries equips future religious leaders with the skills to engage science within their ministry context. And the basic kind of structure of the program was providing grants to seminaries to engage with science within the core curriculum of their future faith leaders. So seminaries would receive a $75,000 grant over 2 years to incorporate science engagement into at least two of their core courses. So these are the courses that everybody has to take at the seminary. And the science topics could be pretty much anything they chose within some limits set by our funder, but pretty much anything they chose. The theological and coursework topics could be pretty much anything they chose. And so they range really widely. We also were able to give smaller $15,000 seed grants to a group of seminaries that were interested in this work, but maybe not quite ready to dive into engaging with their core coursework to kind of build capacity for science engagement. And so far in this program, we have given grants to 54 seminaries, over $3.2 million in grants. They have updated 165 courses, held 90 campus events. Thousands of future Christian leaders have been impacted by this program already. And so I want to give you kind of an overview of some of the projects that seminaries have done through this, and also encourage you to be thinking about how you might be involved in work like this, because engagement with scientists and engagement with faith leaders is so important to continuing to, again, as AAAS's mission is, advance science, but also serve society. Seminaries that have received grants through this program are kind of geographically spread throughout the U.S. and Canada. We sought geographic diversity as well as representation from all the denominational diversity that's represented within ATS. Now, this the, This project that I'm describing now was a partnership with the Association of Theological Schools. So all of these seminaries are accredited through ATS. I'll talk a little bit about some future work that we're doing to kind of expand our pool of theological education institutions. But that's just to give you an idea of where they are. And I'm not expecting you to read like every single word on here, but I'm going to give you some examples of schools that received these Science for Seminaries grants, just so you can get an idea of kind of the diversity of projects, the diversity of schools, and the ways in which seminaries are incorporating science engagement into their coursework. So Mundelein Seminary is a Roman Catholic seminary in Illinois. One of the challenges they faced is that within Roman Catholic seminaries, a lot of the coursework is very fixed, and so they had to really kind of think about where are the places in our existing coursework where science engagement can actually, can really enhance what we're doing. So they have a course in anthropology, creation, grace, and eschatology, in which they incorporated evolutionary science and cosmology to talk about the different scriptural stories of human development and the development of the universe, and how they're enhanced by learning about the scientific stories about those as well. And then their fundamental theology course, they incorporated cognitive science to talk about how the brain understands God and how that might help future faith leaders think about the way they're communicating theology and the way that we're understanding how people receive it. So two really different approaches within one seminary, but different ways of thinking about how science is involved with theology. One of the things that I want to mention as I go through this and kind of talk about the diversity of seminaries is that, as I mentioned, AAAS is a scientific society. We do not have a statement of faith that we require seminaries to adhere to, and we don't have a particular science that we say you must use. You must talk about biological evolution in all of your courses, or else you don't get a grant. If that's not the way you want to engage science, that's fine. Our goal is to make sure that the science you are engaging is peer-reviewed, forefront science done by respected professionals, so that you're getting good scientific information in whatever topic it is. And the goal is not just to give the faith leaders an education in a particular science topic, but also hopefully to help them see more generally how science relates to the work that they'll be doing, and also to feel more comfortable engaging with scientific topics in the future, having an idea of, what is a good source for getting scientific information? How does science work on a basic level so that I know, when things come up, where I might go to get information and help and support on these things. One of the other interesting things that Mundelein Seminary did was a teaching parish program in which they had their students that were already serving in parishes lead discussions on science in their local parishes, which was a really interesting exercise for them to think about what are the attitudes I might encounter when I'm in ministry and what are the questions that people might be asking that I want to think about how I can answer. Hood Theological Seminary, which is a historically Black seminary in North Carolina, they did a number of different courses, again, looking at a wide variety of science topics. And they also started a center of faith, science, and history on their campus to continue these conversations going forward. One of their really neat things they've also done is they started summer science literacy camps. These are camps for local faith communities that involve both science and theology. And so these are, local churches come to these summer camps and they get interesting science information as well as, theological reflection about how that applies. clients in their lives. The University of Dubuque is a much smaller seminary than many of these, but also they took a really interesting approach of kind of looking at a variety of science topics from ecology to neuroscience to the science of learning, but trying to kind of integrate all of those into an overall approach of like, holistically, how is science affecting our lives and affecting our theological approach? Azusa Pacific Seminary in California was a wonderful one for us to work with because they not only, they were one of the schools that we were working with when COVID hit, so had to really pivot a lot of their plans that they had made, but use that to good effect, doing a couple of webinars on coronavirus, on bringing scientists and theologians into conversation about the challenges of coronavirus, about attitudes towards immunization, and how that might play out in faith leaders' churches. They also have a Spanish language program, so they did two kind of parallel conferences, one in English and one in Spanish, to be able to involve many of their students. And, you know, like I said, because we don't have a statement of faith, one of the advantages of that is that schools across the theological spectrum have been involved in this program and can be involved in this program. And so Pentecostal Theological Seminary, which is a large Pentecostal seminary, did a variety of course engagement projects and brought it into their, you know, fundamental theology classes. Theology of Holy Spirit is fundamental in the Pentecostal church. And they were able to bring psychology and anthropology topics into that and help people think about how those impact the ways that people experience encounters with the Holy Spirit, how they express those encounters and things like that. And then one other I want to mention that was part of our seed grant project was Fuller Theological Seminary, where they actually developed a new course and a new approach in psychological sciences and made this course a foundational requirement for their MDiv students. And really, they did a great video series on psychological sciences for ministry and interviewing psychologists and people who were involved in this work about the ways that that psychology can inform how we do ministry. One of the things that that also kind of highlights is that the scientists involved in this work, many of them were not people of faith themselves. They were folks that we recruited through AAAS membership that were interested and fascinated in the opportunity to have these conversations. And so I think that's one of the great, you know, there are wonderful things about having scientists of faith who can bring their personal experience into these conversations. But I also want to encourage you that, you know, scientists who are not people of faith are also interested in these kinds of conversations. These aren't things that, but they don't necessarily know when and where there are opportunities to have them. So student perception of science changed significantly positively throughout this project. Positive increases in attitudes towards science being relevant to their studies and to their ministry, and also understanding not only that their faith communities needed to learn more from scientists, but that scientists needed to learn more from faith communities. And the project leaders of these overwhelmingly reported positive effects from the grant. You know, the level of interest in science-related topics, the preparedness of their students to talk about these things. 96% of these courses are still being taught, which is really amazing. And that was one of the goals, making them part of the core coursework. This work received an Expanded Reason Award from the Expanded Reason Institute, which is an international institute, and also has spurred a new project in the UK, a Science for Seminaries UK, run by the Equipping Christian Leadership and the Age of Science program. And we've also been able to do a pilot project on climate change in theological education. Climate was one of the topics that our funder, our initial funder, didn't fund, and so a private donor helped us to do a pilot project with climate change. Lots of lessons learned from this project and things we are still incorporating. There's a wide variation in kind of how people understood science, but what we found was that integrating this into core coursework helped avoid a self-selection bias that you might get for having an elective or things like that. And also how important it was to allow schools to contextualize their approach to their students and their future faith communities. We also found that targeted approaches around the topic were much more effective than this kind of general thought experiment about can science and faith go together. Most of the students and most of the people they are serving in their communities are much more interested in the very practical application parts of this conversation. So I just want to let you know about some of the resources from this project that are available online. You can see all the seminaries and what they did on scienceforseminaries.org, and a number of video resources that came out of this on our Science Religion Dialogue page. I have some flyers up here that have links to those video resources, QR codes for all the different series that we've done, as well as some other resources that you might want to check out up here. And then I just quickly want to highlight that our climate science pilot project was successful enough that we are now doing a full climate science in theological education grant. The applications are open now, so if you know any seminaries that are interested in engaging climate science, there's a flyer up here for that as well, so please do send them our way. And if you are interested in being an advisor to a school involved in this, please let us know. We are always looking for scientists who wish to be involved. So thank you so much. I'm sorry I think I ran over by like a minute.
Yes, in the back.
I just have one comment to make about those pastors out there who have gone beyond education and the role we as ASA members have played as individuals help educate them. My pastor, fortunately, was very pro-science at the beginning of the epidemic, pandemic, and he had good input from physicians in the congregation about, you know, distancing and all of that kind of thing. But then when the vaccine came out, I would kind of communicate with them either in person or by email and send links. So one link I sent was the ASA mid-year winter conference where Francis Collins spoke about the vaccine. And I would send, I'd also send my pastor's follow-ups on all the wacky conspiracy theories that came up about the vaccine. And, you know, he appreciated all of that input I was given. I think I'm just an informal kind of basis. We need to try to engage with our pastors. Now, I know there are some, probably in some settings, you know, you might get some sort of fellowship out the door, but, you know.
Thank you.
Can I kind of repeat that a little bit? So he was talking about the importance of engaging with your pastors as scientists, engaging with your pastors. And I think that's one of the things that that we sometimes, the kind of overarching idea that there is a conflict between science and religion means that when scientists go to church, they don't necessarily bring their science into church. People don't necessarily know what they do. And that is really important, that your pastor knows you're a scientist. you do, how you see this as part of your vocation as, you know, as a Christian in the world, and knows that you might be a resource when things like coronavirus hit, because that's one of the things that we've found too. And also, as scientists, sometimes we aren't always trained on the best way to talk about our science in a more public engagement sense. And so I do want to highlight one, a couple of resources that Dozer also has from our Engaging Scientists project. That, so if you feel nervous about talking about your science in a face setting because you're like, I don't know how this is going to be received or whatever, we have some resources that can help with that as well that we also use to train our science advisors. So I just wanted to highlight that as well.
Katie, excellent presentation. Thank you so much. Such amazing work. So just really excited about science for seminaries and what it's done. And it's really exciting to see the new climate science for seminaries. I just wish that product well. Are there plans to do another way of kind of the general broad science for seminaries down the road?
We would love to.
Are there plans for additional rounds of grants for the full science for seminaries?
We would love to do that. We are seeking funding for that right now, while we are also working on the climate project. And one thing I do want to note about the climate project is that this, a lot of times when people think about climate science, they think, oh, we're talking about, you know, climatology only. And these grants are for folks who are talking about climate-related issues in science. So in the pilot project, we had some folks who you know, brought in, you know, climatologists, paleoclimatologists, and things like that. But there was a lot of work done, too, on agriculture and soil science and how food justice is wrapped up in climate change. And things about psychology and sense of place and how that also impacts, you know, our mental health and mental well-being and things like that. So I do also want to encourage you, if you're thinking about applying or sending this opportunity around, to note that things that are related to climate change are covered in this, and not just, you know, it doesn't just be, I have to bring a climatologist in to talk about, you know, atmospheric greenhouse gas accumulation.
Thanks again to our speaker.